and welcome to the broadcast with Amanda, Shandy, and Colleen. My name is Colleen.
My name is Amanda.
And I'm Shandy.
And welcome to the show, everyone. This is Season 2, Episode 43, also known as Episode 88. We are now one FMLA leave away from our 100th episode.
Nice.
Hooray.
I was like, wait, FMLA, family medical leave. And okay, gotcha.
On gotcha. The forefront of my mind. All right, that one fell flat. Let me restart this. All right. Hello and welcome to the broadcast of the Man.
Oh no.
My name is Colleen.
Oh, I'm just here for the party
and not to play along. Apparently.
I don't know. I thought I'd maybe dabble in Jack's style. Introduce myself as someone different this week.
Ooh,
nice. And over here in the corner, I'm Shandy. Just...
Still Shandy. All right. Well, okay. 88. That's like piano keys. So we're like a piano keyboard away.
Wow, that is a great piece of trivia to have it like just at your disposal.
Yep. Anyway, guys, how are you doing?
Fine. I'm still working on that sneeze, guys.
Oh, no.
It's going to be serious.
I just got back from physical therapy, so I'm good.
Oh, how is PT going?
It's good. It's like, I just love it. I'm so happy I'm doing it.
Good.
Is it just a lot of
stretches? That should be how you feel about it.
Exercises and stuff?
So it's actually, so I asked when I went on Friday after we recorded, I asked about the, God, what is it called? The biophysical, biochemical, no, biostructural, whatever. My flaw in my being. I was like, what does that mean? Do I have like one leg that's longer than the other? Which I'm sure I do. But and she said, no, it was actually like my knees and then also my ankles on my left side have a tendency to roll in. So it's like partially.
Such a stride.
Partially a strength thing, so we're strengthening, but also like teaching my quick twitch muscles to fire faster and stay out and not go in. So
interesting. That's cool. And you have stuff to do at home that can like practice through.
I have homework. Yeah, which is great. Like if you want to, give me. Well, I don't always come through for the broadcast. I was gonna say I aim to please, and if you give me a homework assignment, good student.
That's true. I'm still waiting for my training schedule. The race is in 2 weeks.
Oh no.
Tapering, right?
No, I'm still working up to 5 miles. I haven't gotten there yet.
You know,
I did 4.5 today. It was a struggle, but I did it.
Yay! You're ready. You're totally ready. Hard.
I went for a run on Saturday and like it was real bad, guys. It was real bad. Like the whole time. It was humid. It was hot. It was whatever. I had to like walk a few times and I'm like beating myself up. I'm like, I'm so disappointed in you. I'm so mad at myself. Like, I was like talking to myself like a really stern parent.
Like, oh, you crazy
so
girl.
Disappointed.
But you were out and you were doing it and you were living.
Well, and I think it was also like, and I think this is why like partners shouldn't do like activities together if they're even remotely competitive. Because I have been at this for like at least a week or two longer than Daniel has. And he like smoked my ass. And I'm like, so I'm fuming about that as I'm walking and I can't breathe.
Yeah.
I'm never going to do that. I'm never going to be able to do this. Why did I sign up?
You're gonna, if you can run 4.5 miles, you got it. You're good to go.
I don't know. It's
you'll have
struggle.
The adrenaline of the day.
My body is just not into it. Not no, everyone Amanda. Can run a marathon. My body is like, dude, can we stop?
No, you need to pull yourself aside and be like, Amanda, Amanda's psyche, Amanda's body, fuck you in the face. I've got this.
Yeah.
I would say that those runs when you like just are really not feeling it and you don't want to be there, those are kind of the best. Because, like when you do them anyway. You know?
Yes, I have been trying to psych myself up to just work out in general. And I have actually told myself this morning, I was like, when you don't want to do it, that's the one that always feels the best in the end because you did it.
Totally. It makes it easier for the next time when you're like not quite as like, I don't want to do this. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh, yeah, last time I really didn't want to do it, and I still did it.
Yep.
I don't know. I don't know.
You could do it.
I keep thinking, I thought it like, because I think it was this whole, the week of rain really knocked me off my game. I was doing really well. I was like feeling good. I was like in the zone. And then I lost a week because it rained every day, all the time. And I just, I'm having a hard time getting back into it.
You gotta run in the rain, man.
But it was like, it was like too much. Like, it's one thing, like I went for a run like a couple weeks ago and it started to rain like as I was doing it. And like, that was fine. Cause you know, you're like, you gotta get home anyway. So might as well. but like when it's already running and you go out, I'm like, I'm not that hardcore.
Oh no. I went walking in the rain yesterday and it was amazing.
It's very cleansing.
It was. This sounds terrible. I took Alex with me, but he was in the stroller and it was like covered. So he actually never got even like a drop of water on him. But like I was out there in my raincoat and I was like, I'm doing this, man. And it was very cleansing. You're right. It was awesome. Okay. Memorial Day weekend. Who did fun things? I didn't do anything except walk in the rain.
That sounded lovely, though. The way you described it, that sounded really nice.
It actually was. Yeah. It was
a good bonding moment.
It was. It was. Well, I never saw him. I think he slept the whole hour and a half that we were out there. But it was great.
But you know what? We were there together.
The universe, nature, we bonded.
Right. One of you was conscious. One of you wasn't, questionably. We don't know. It's fine.
I think this might be one of those only situations in life where it's okay for one of the parties to not be conscious.
Fair.
So we have found the exception, y'all.
Wait, hold the phone. Are you wearing a Softly Sarah Falls shirt?
I am. I was hoping that you were going to notice it.
I just noticed when you readjusted. No, I still have my Sarah Falls shirt, although I feel bad because I use it to dry my hair. It's my hair t-shirt because it's so big. Like, it's hard. So, okay, anyone who has curly hair. So if you have curly hair, you shouldn't use a regular towel because curly hair is very porous and it damages your hair if you dry it with a regular towel. But if you use a t-shirt, you'll have less frizz and less breakage and your hair will be generally just be happier. So I use a t-shirt.
Wow.
And I have bigger ones that, you know, because I tie it up, I do this whole thing. And a larger t-shirt is better. And that is one of the few that is like the nice and big and like I can do it real good.
Amanda's hair tips.
Yeah.
Curly haired people.
Yeah. Patent pending.
You just taught me something new. I have a friend with very curly hair. I will
ask her if she dries her hair with a t-shirt.
With a t-shirt.
Yeah. If she doesn't, you should advise her to do it.
I think she might air dry, but I will ask.
Cool. So, Amanda, you went upstate for Memorial Day weekend?
I did. We went up to the Catskills for the weekend, got out of Dodge. Awesome. It was nice. The weather didn't cooperate as much as we would have liked. It was kind of rainy and foggy on Sunday, which was our only full day there. But I think in a certain way, it kind of ended up being better because of it. So like the trails were still kind of like there were still people out, which I was amazed by because I'm like, it is raining. I'm walking in the woods with an umbrella. But it also sort of worked out in the fact that like it wasn't super crowded. So like we had a more private communal experience with the woods. That was really nice. But yeah, no, it was really, really, it was nice to get away and unplug a little bit. The internet at the Airbnb that we were at wasn't really working. So it's like when you sort of get home and you're tired and your instinct is to pick up your phone and start like rifling through Facebook and like posting pictures of the cool thing you did that day. Mm-hmm. And like you can't do that. It was like a nice reminder of like, oh, right, asshole, put your phone down and like, just use your words and talk to the person sitting next to you. So it was, it was really nice. And then we drove back yesterday and stopped at IKEA and stopped at a real grocery store because we had a car. Like when you don't own a car, it's like when you have one for a little bit, like it's kind of like it is not dissimilar to like figuring out if you had 2 hours as the other sex and what you would do. It's not dissimilar to that. They're like, oh, what can we do? Where can we go with the car?
Nice.
Yeah. No, it was nice.
You went to Catterskill Falls, right?
We did. We did that on Monday on our way out. We wanted to do like one more hike before we left. And I was like, I'd done it before. Actually, Daniel had too. We went up to the Catskills 2 years ago with some of my Marist friends for a weekend.
That's right.
And we had done it, and I had done it years before that too. So I was like, what is the name of that hike that we did? Like, that's a fairly, you know, medium level hike. And we got there pretty early. So the parking there is usually awful because it's like right on the side of like a big, long, windy mountain road. And there's like places for like six cars to park. And it's like super popular.
Right. Why? Because I grew up hiking that stuff because my dad was big on hiking and whatever.
Right.
And when we went to Catterskill Falls, like the way he sold it to us was to do like the Rip Van Winkle tour. I don't know if you did.
I know. I don't even. So I guess because he's kind of near. Is he near there?
I'm pretty sure that he suppose like legend says he. I think like he fell asleep near there or something. But I remember my dad super sold us on that. And I'm trying to verify this on the internet now.
I feel like I totally missed that. I wish I had known. Now we need to go back.
But like supposedly there's like, I don't know, cool like secret sites there that like, okay, here it is. Let's see. The waterfall's fame in America began when Washington Irving mentioned them in his story, Rip Van Winkle. He wrote a passage about Rip Van Winkle reawaking after his 20-year slumber and walking home. And I guess they're talked about there. And I feel like, because there's like a legend of his treasure or something. And I'm pretty sure there's supposed, I think it's that there's supposed to be clues or something to where the treasure is in that area. And we did the hike and my dad was like, you know, kind of really made it very engaging for us when we were kids. So that's what I always remember about that. And it's
that's
a beautiful
awesome
area.
Mm-hmm. I had no idea. But yeah, that was the one thing particularly there that really caught my attention is just how many families and how many really like young, like little ones that were out on the hike. Because it's not super easy. There's a lot of elevation and there's a lot of like climbing over rocks and
yeah,
branches and stuff. And I was just so amazed at how many parents were like getting their little tiny kids out there and getting them into nature and being outside. And I was just like, oh, that's really awesome.
Pretty much my childhood.
Right.
If you are really interested in like hiking more and going up there, you should join the Catskill 3500 Club and see how many of the mountains that you can climb that are over 3500 feet in elevation, and you get like patches and cool things and stuff. So,
oh, cool. Yeah, because we also did Overlook, which we did that on Saturday, which was cool because there was really nobody there because it was kind of a crappy day, which I think, you know, worked in our benefit because that one is really tough because you're just like the first part takes you up to like a lookout point. Yep. Where there used to be the Overlook Hotel. Okay. And it's not there anymore. It's pretty steep, like you're just walking uphill for what feels like for freaking ever.
That's why I love
and there's not a lot of change of scenery. It's just like you were just hiking up a very steep hill.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, like, especially like it was really cool because it had been raining all day. So it was just like mist. And all of a sudden out of this mist comes these like dilapidated old like 1800s hotels. So it's just like partial facades of stone buildings and the trees are all growing through them. So it really looked very like mystical and magical and creepy. And we kind of had it to ourselves. Like every once in a while, someone else would walk by or like you'd kind of pass someone coming down or up. But it was really cool because I imagine most on a nice day, it is not like that. It's probably really crowded and you probably can't really enjoy it in the same way.
Yeah, well, that's awesome. Like, really look into joining the 3500 Club. I think that if you guys are competitive or whatever and like to hike, and
I wouldn't say I'm competitive about hiking. I'm more just like, you can do this.
Not like competitive about hiking, but just like challenging yourselves. Like, I don't know. Look into it. It's cool. Like, again, that was kind of like my childhood. So I can make you a hiking plan for the Catskills. And by that, I mean, ask my dad, write some shit down, and then pass it off to you as mine.
Nice.
I'll just give you his book. It's all good.
That's true. Does he have one about the Catskills, or it's just Long Island?
No, Hiking in the Catskills was the first one. My baby picture is in it. I'm the only one.
I had no idea. I thought all his books were centralized to the Long Island area. I had no idea.
Nope.
Very cool.
Hiking the Catskills and Hiking Long Island by Lee McAllister. That's my dad.
Yep. Yep. Published author.
Published author. No and idea. On the back of the Hiking Long Island one. It's like family pictures and stuff. So I'm on some books.
No big deal.
Word hike famous. Yeah. Not really.
No biggie.
Anyway, Shandy, how was your Memorial Day weekend?
It was fine. We stayed here. I also went hiking, but I had kind of the opposite experience. On Sunday, we went down to Big Sur, and like, I don't know, I guess sometimes you just forget. It's busy down there. It can be busy on any weekend, but not like crazy. But it's Memorial Day weekend, and I don't think I've ever been down in Big Sur during Memorial Day weekend. And I guess it's Memorial Day weekend after Big Little Lies is also a thing. So I think that's maybe both reasons, both factors, but into it being kind of a zoo. But anyway, so we went down, and the hike that we did, there were not a lot of people on that trail. But the thing is, as we were driving down, like, to get to Big Sur, it's just one little road with, like, one lane on each side. And there's no alternative route. There's no other way. And then, like, at a certain point, it's still blocked off because there was, like, mudslides and, like, they're doing all this construction and stuff. So, like, you have no other options but to come back on the same road. And so as we're driving down to get there, I see this line of cars on the other side. And it was just insane. Like, I have never seen a line of cars like that, especially at Big Sur. It was just crazy. So we're like, okay, that's kind of insane. But like, probably by the time we'll go down, we'll hike, it'll be like, you know, towards the end of the day anyway, we'll come back. Everyone will have like already left to go to dinner. So we go and we hike, and it was great. And then on the way back, like, I forgot about it at first until we got to Bixby Bridge, which is 13 miles from Carmel, which Carmel is like the next little town over. And I know this because I have run this. I've been there on foot. The line of cars started at Bixby Bridge, and it took us roughly 3 hours to come back.
Wow.
From what should have been a like 35 to 40 minute.
Oh my God.
Total. Yeah. 3 hours. And we're sitting, when we finally got to Monterey, I was like, Frank, we ran that faster than
I was just gonna ask. Did you run it faster?
Seriously, it was insanity. I've never seen anything like it. And I think the holdup is there's like a little bit of construction going on. It's just that little highway. There were a ton of people. But also in Carmel, there's a light. And it's like they didn't think to, like, I don't know, put a cop there and direct traffic instead of just having everyone stop.
Yeah.
When there's really no like cross traffic. Smart. It was insane. So it was really fun. We had a great time. It took us 3 hours to come back.
Ugh,
fucking nuts.
Yeah. 13 miles. I would not be happy about that.
No.
So the worst part is that, so my roommate who like just moved out, her boyfriend has been staying with us for the past couple of weeks. Yeah. And then now they're like traveling, and then they're going back to Vienna for the summer. Anyway, it was their last night before they left on their little like road trip. And so they had offered, they wanted to cook for us as like a thank you. And so, you know, we were set to like be back in time for dinner with time to spare and everything. But then because of the traffic, we were like later and later and later. And the really stressful thing is that in Big Sur, there's really not cell service. So
Oh, that's right. Because if you got eaten by the mountain lion, nobody would hear your phone call. Okay, sorry. That got dark.
Wow, that got real dark.
I was like, is that like Kerouac or did I have I not read that one? But yeah, no, nobody would hear your cell phone. But so like, that was the worst part. Like, it was insane that it took so long to come back, but just like that feeling of like feeling like an asshole because you're just like super late and you can't even tell the person like, it's not my fault and I'm really sorry and we're on our way. But finally we got to a place where we could like get a message through. And it was fine. They were packing and stuff anyway, but so we got back and we had goulash, which was really good.
That's awesome.
So that was cool. But it was like super, super late. But yeah, again, because 3 hours to come back from Big Sur. Insanity.
Sorry,
that's about it.
Okay.
But you had delicious home cooked meal when you got home.
Exactly. I had a delicious Austrian home cooked meal when I got home. And I got to say, like, hey, we were faster running.
There we go.
It had to have been good for the old ego.
Yeah, that was nice.
Sweet.
We played some car games. We kind of watched the sunset, but we like weren't really
the right. You were having place, sex so. During the sunset? Is that what you're trying to tell us? No, I'm just
kidding. It was a long traffic jam. Got a pastime somehow.
All right. No, we definitely like silently judged some other people though, because not because they were having sex, because they were not, but like the woman 2 cars in front of us would get out every now and then and just go and like pick a fucking plant.
What?
Bring your friend to the flower, not the flower to your friend.
Maybe she had to like, fart, so she got out of the car to fart or something.
I was like, oh, while I'm here, let me grab this flower.
Don't just take the succulents home with you. Like, Jesus fucking Christ.
What is this, a Home Depot?
Yeah. Seriously, people. And that was like, fucking tourists. And then, so we went hiking with one of our friends, and she was like, yeah, because we're talking about how stupid it was that they didn't, like, do anything about that traffic light situation. And she was like, yeah, because, I mean, plus, like, people aren't going to come back if they, like, they have this experience of coming, you know, it's taking them 3 hours to come back from Big Sur. It's like, you know what? Maybe that's a good thing. Maybe then these tourists can just stay away.
Right.
Nice.
Nice.
I don't want to share. Go home.
I watched that Evil Genius show on Netflix this weekend.
Oh, I'm not sure I'm familiar. Do tell.
So it's a true crime documentary. It's 4 parts. And essentially the premise is a guy walks into a bank with a bomb strapped around his neck and it blows up. And then it tells the story of they dubbed it the world's most diabolical bank heist. And it's pretty graphic. Like, Jay watched the first episode and was like, I'm out. I watched the first episode and I was like, I am in, I am in, I am in. So, and then I fell asleep during the second one, so I had to rewatch it. But
a little less in, but you know.
Yeah, well, you know. I know, that's what she said, Matt. But no, it's fascinating. It's a crazy story, and they have pretty good like storytelling. Like if it was, like I could see it having been a podcast, except a lot of the stuff is like evidence that you have to see or different, you know, stuff that you kind of have to like. It's made better by having visuals to go along with the audio storytelling, and they do a really good job. And like, I'm not going to say anything else because I don't want to spoil it. But if you can handle, like, the true crime stuff that might... Like, I'm not... All right, I will spoil this. In the first couple of minutes of the first episode, you do see the guy blowing up.
Oh, my God.
So, like, you see the explosion, and then it cuts away, and then it shows you, like, his body there after. And it's news camera footage, so it's not close up. But, like, it's... still fairly graphic. So I will warn you about that. Like, if you, that's the
you
gross,
don't want to see somebody get plumbed.
Yeah, the gross stuff is pretty much out of the way in the first episode. And then when they're kind of recapping everything to summarize the whole thing at the very end, they show some of the graphic images again. But, you know, other than that, it's not, okay, wait, there might be a couple of other things, but it's pretty much all done for within the first episode and maybe the first few minutes of the second episode. I don't know. Look, it's if you don't like that stuff, then it's not for you. But if you're into that stuff and you can stomach it, like, I totally recommend it. It's a crazy story, and it's just, it's very interesting. It's good storytelling. Okay, look, that's the fastest I have ever talked in the beginning part of this show. And by that, I mean... wrapped it up. So anyway,
that's what she said.
Yeah.
I mean, if she's being safe.
Yeah. Well, because I really wanted to bring up the fact that there is a Britney Spears musical happening.
So obviously, I brought up a true crime series so I could get to Britney.
Yeah. Well. You know how my mind works.
least we never forget bald Britney and the umbrella. Never forget.
That is an image that I'm always going to remember in the rest of my life.
I think we all are.
So I guess she attended the first reading of a Broadway musical scored with her hit songs. The play is planned for early 2019. And she gave it her blessing last year. The title of the production isn't set in stone yet, so the working title is Hit Me Baby One More Time. I say, what is wrong with that as the actual title?
No, I think they can come up with something
better. They probably can. And no one has been cast as the Britney role yet. So I'm guessing the first reading was just to maybe workshop the book more. Mm. And then, the music is clearly there. So, guys, that would be so awesome. Can you imagine if there was a Jagged Little Pill musical and a Britney Spears musical and, like, they just, I don't know. I feel like that's, like, everything of my teenage years just put together.
Highbrow, lowbrow.
Yeah. Highbrow, lowbrow. Fuck you. That's, like, highbrow and higher brow.
Britney Spears, highbrow. Yeah.
And then Alanis.
We want to go there? Okay.
It's Britney.
So which one are we more excited about?
Well, Jagged Little Pill, clearly. But
yeah, that's what I thought.
Can you? Oh my God. I, what is going to give me life? We may have another 6.5 years of a Donald Trump presidency, but we also may get a Britney Spears musical. So I feel like the universe is giving back to us in some way.
Or the universe is telling us, hey, don't blow everything up. Like, look at all these things you have to look forward to in the future. Like, let's all just, like, chill and let's all just get to 2019. Mm-hmm. Look, you'll be rewarded with a Britney musical.
Yes.
Because the problem, though, is the people in power are like, Britney who?
Somehow, I don't think Donald Trump is going Britney who.
Well, he has tweeted about Taylor Swift before, so...
Yeah. He knows who the young pop stars are.
I have one thing that I ask the people that are creating this musical. Can we get, a la Starlight Express, when Toxic comes on, can they be in roller skates, in the airplane uniform, the stewardess uniform, and can there be something like that? Because that's kind of what I'm picturing. And I think that that could be, like, really fun and awesome.
All right. Pitch
hey,
it.
Roller skates worked for The Little Mermaid on Broadway. It could work here.
There you go.
Yeah. That's how they made them look like they were swimming. They were in roller skates.
That's smart.
Yeah. That is
very
smart.
Fluid.
Yeah.
Good times. All right. Do we want to get into... Oh, Boink. Oh, my God. We're going to talk about Boink. I have to go back like 17 pages in my notebook. Let's see. Hold on. Flipping. Here we go. Okay. I've got my notes. So, yeah. What did you guys think of Boink? I can start if you want, or you got one of you can start.
Go ahead.
All right. I thought it was fun. I definitely thought that, like, you could see as they shot more and more, like, the plot got, like, kind of, like, built up more, and like the, like, I liked it. I thought it was fun. I thought the characters were fun. My favorite episode was the Bad Lemonade episode. And my favorite bit in the entire series was in that episode. And that was when, Ani and Tilly are in the bathroom and one of them does, like, rock, paper, scissors against herself and loses and he gets upset. And I think that that was so funny. And then the other one is like, you are smart and talented and you know the difference between your and your.
Your, that was funny.
And I thought that was so funny. And I was like, oh my God, our president doesn't understand the difference between there and there. So, like, you go, Ani and Tilly, you're one ahead of that. I also,
that was funny.
The second time that I watched it, I caught more and more. I caught some things the second time around that alluded to the cliffhanger that I hadn't caught the first time. So
definitely. The episode that you're talking about, I did think that was funny. It sort of reminded me of In Girls when Shoshana accidentally smokes crack.
Oh, I've never seen Girls.
I know the episode you're talking about. Yeah.
That, like, say what you will about Lena Dunham, the episode where Shoshana accidentally smokes crack is fucking hilarious.
It is. It's just like, as a concept, it's really freaking funny. Yeah. Like, it's a great idea, like a plot point.
Yes, especially with that particular character. But yeah, so like, anytime people accidentally, like, get high, apparently I'm there for the ride because it's hilarious.
I kind of liked the yoga one where she had to wear the pad, just as somebody who's actually like also been in that situation where you're like, okay, nobody really can tell that you're wearing a pad during like yoga or Pilates, but you're still super self-conscious. So I thought that was kind of funny. Yeah, actually.
That was a really relatable moment.
Totally.
Sort of. Although I will say, since I've switched to Thanks, not so relating anymore.
So are you a feminist rebleeder like Hadley was?
I did. I identified with that, except I'm not actually free bleeding because I'm free bleeding into something that's designed to catch up. Yeah, but I was a little bit surprised because, like, in a way, that's sort of relatable. But like some of the pad stuff and the period stuff, like it was a little bit like, I mean, are people still embarrassed when they have to say, especially in such like a tight knit workplace, that they're on their period? Like, is that still a thing? Do people still care?
I think it's
Sort of expect, especially people, like, they're a little bit younger than us, right? Too. I would expect that.
I think in certain work environments, people are still like that because my sister is kind of like that. So it wasn't like totally out of, but also she works in a work environment where you probably want to keep things more professional. So I guess you're right. Like at a place like Boink, if I worked there, I'd totally be like, I need a tampon. Who's got one?
Right. Especially it's like if you're in a work environment where everyone is essentially of the same age and it's small like that. Like I wouldn't be at my own office, but it's because it's a much bigger place and it's more age diverse.
Unless they're trying to show how naive she was to, like, kind of be embarrassed about asking for one.
That's fair. It was also supposed to be, what, like, her first or second week on the job?
Yeah, because she had just learned about Yoga Friday, so it was probably during her first week.
That's true. I would be shy, I suppose, in that situation.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have zero fucks.
Yeah. Ever.
Ever.
I mean, really.
What did you guys think of the cliffhanger? Which I don't want to spoil, but I'm in. Like, you know, I thought it was
fun. I think it wasn't completely, like, I didn't necessarily see it coming.
I thought it coming the first time.
Yeah, so I thought that was clever.
I liked how they set it up throughout the episodes.
Yeah, but it was very subtle. That, like, and like you said, in the first watch, so you didn't necessarily pick up on those clues as to what the eventual payoff is going to be.
Yeah,
I don't necessarily think I did either. I think there were certain things you're like, huh, I wonder why they're on that shot. That seems a little out of place,
right?
But then it all makes sense in the end.
Yeah, and it's actually like part of it when you think about what the joke is about the character that eventually forces the cliffhanger, you're kind of like, oh, well, that's kind of like an easy joke to kind of like, you know, pick at that person. Like, they're not really reaching much there. Like, okay, well, this is, you know, this is fun. This is, you know, funny. They've got that character that, you know, is this seemingly throwaway character that's getting picked on. And then you realize at the end, you're like, oh, shit. Like, those are all clues to this character is actually important.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. I hope that wasn't too spoilery.
Right. I think that was pretty tame. I think we didn't give too much away. But yeah, I think overall I was really impressed with having spoken to those ladies and knowing that they have never created or produced a piece of film or television before. The fact that they were able to make it look so professional, I think is really, really pretty amazing. You know, all the editing was really, really great. The way everything was shot looked really beautiful. It was set up well. So I think from a production standpoint, I was really impressed. And I think watching it, I wouldn't have known that those were first time creators from the final product.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Especially, like I said, I think it improves as it goes along too. Yeah, because I'm assuming they wrote it in order or whatever, probably, or somewhat. Like, you can see.
Yeah, I can't remember what they said their writing process was.
Yeah, like, you can see just, you know, how much. I don't want to say it improves, because that's not the right word. Like, how. Or whatever. Like, my train of thought is, like, how the plot goes from, like, simple to, like, you know, building up with different layers or whatever throughout.
Yeah, but I think, and even at that, and I think, just in, as a general note, I hate that web videos are always so short, and I know, understand
I didn't like that. I wish
that, that's, that that is just that is part of the medium, and that's how web series work, and that episodes are very, very short and contained, and they have to be. But I think it wasn't always to a service of the plot. Like, I would have liked to have seen them do a lot more exploration into the relationships between the different female characters, mm-hmm. and develop that a lot more. And I think given the limitations of the medium, they weren't really able to do that in a way that would have been more satisfying for me as a viewer.
The stronger episodes were the ones that were longer.
Yeah.
7 or 8 minutes. Yeah. So I hope that if they do get to do a season two, I hope that they can expand a little bit, you know, even to, like, you know, 6, 7, or 8 minutes, because, you know, you could definitely tell. And I think that's what the difference I was trying to say is, like, you could tell, like, when they had more time to expand versus, like, a more of, like, a little, like, skit almost versus, like, a story.
Right. And I think that's the hard thing of those mediums, that, like, you end up using a lot of that time to set up a joke or set up a pun, and it is at the expense of the overall world developing and character development. Yeah.
But that said, like, yeah, I was very impressed, and I'm totally down to watch a season two, because I really enjoyed it. I watched it twice in 2 days, so I clearly enjoyed it. Okay, cool. So if anybody out there has any feedback about Boink, or if you want to check it out, I will put in the show notes one more time and you can check it out. And otherwise, you know, send us some feedback and let us know what you thought about it. thebroadcasters3@gmail.com. All right. So speaking of our email address, I think it's time to bring some Facey back.
Hooray.
Woo. All right. So our first bit of feedback here is a slight correction from Dennis. The card that he read actually had nothing to do with tits. It
You're
was
so close.
Albert Einstein, but if he had huge muscles and a rhinoceros cock. So we know that Dennis draws the line at rhinoceros cocks.
That is a fun thing to say.
And it's actually a tongue twister. Try saying it, rhinoceros cock.
Rhinoceros sucks. Cock.
All right, rhinoceros cock. All right. Rhinoceros cock.
That's
rhinoceros
fine.
Cock. That's rhinoceros
fine.
Rhinoceros cock. Rhino cock.
She said.
Rhino cock, like Republican in name only cock.
Oh God, no.
Okay, so how you said rhino cop, which I'm like, oh my God, that sounds like a terrible 80s movie.
That could very easily be a terrible 80s movie. It actually might exist.
Right.
If it doesn't exist as a movie, like a regular movie, it certainly exists as a porn.
It's the follow-up to Zootopia. Rhino cop.
That little bunny got down a bad path after.
Yeah. Well, wasn't that what was the Idris Elba's character who was like the head of police? Was he a rhino?
Was cock? He a rhino? Okay. Well, you rhino. Know what they say, once you go rhino. How appropriate that Idris Elba was.
Okay. Bring it all back around.
I don't know if we want to talk about this or not, or if this is going to be one of those things.
Rhino? Absolutely.
It's rhino time, baby.
It's rhino time.
I don't know if we want to discuss this, or I'll just merely read the headline. We all go, this is fucking ridiculous, and then move on to the next thing. And that would be... Porn leads to school shootings, Congresswoman says.
Ugh, can you hear my eyes roll?
I think this is a big part of it, of the spike of such attacks, Representative Diane Black, Republican of Tennessee, says. So, is this really worth discussing, or are we just going to be like, oh, sweetie, no, and then move on? You guys pick.
It's a huge eye roll of a thing I think there are some interesting things in there of like, you know, it could be interesting analysis, but I don't think we necessarily have to go down that rabbit porn hole. Yeah.
To what point will it serve?
Okay. Maybe we should ask Ted Cruz. Oh! All right, so. But
Amanda's reaction.
Not for nothing, but if they had that release from pornography, wouldn't that like help take away some of the aggression that causes them to do things like shoot schools? No? Maybe?
I think
gun violence rather take away?
I think that mainstream, like contemporary pornography contains a lot of violence against women, which is why I'm all about that lovely feminist stuff. So I think like you can talk about how we're seeing like a lot of violence against women in some of the like punish type porn, like revenge porn, stuff like that. And that's maybe linked to the fact that, I mean, like these school shootings are often perpetrated by like, you know, it's sexist motivations. A lot of times, like women get, women are targets in a lot of them, even that one in what, Texas, the Santa Fe High School.
Where she was his ex-girlfriend, yeah.
It wasn't his ex-girlfriend. No. It was a girl that he had been harassing basically for several months because, you know, he wanted to date her and she did not. And she told him no. And in true rom-com style, he just kept pursuing her. And yeah. So like there's maybe, but see, this is not the link that this government official was trying to make with the porn.
Right. Like, we've strayed. But just while you're, there is no like, whatever, the terrible joke, not going to make it. I roll. Get in touch with your reality lady. It's the guns. Okay. moving on to some facey back.
Woo! Oh,
sorry, did anybody want to finish up? Respond to my comment. I'm polite. I always ask you guys if you want to finish.
I already finished.
Yeah.
Okay. Announcing it. Sometimes silently, but finished all the same.
Gonna be celibate on that one.
Oh. Facey back. Brian says, just wanted to say hi to the awesome ladies of the broadcast. Keep up the good work. Yay!
Aww, thank you.
Hi, Brian.
The best.
JP says, just setting the record straight, I am not anonymous 69. I draw the line at fluff. There was a wonderful discussion about this in which JP got all of the accusations. It's in the Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/JandJackGroup, or you can just type in JandJackGroup in the Facebook search bar and you'll find us and join it and join the fun. But and accused
join
JP of being anonymous.
Join the fluff.
Join the fluff!
To be fair, hey JP, he did kind of bring it on himself. Just say
he did.
He's the one that posted it. When you have to come out and say, "I did not,"
I did not have sexual relations with that jar of fluff. It depends on what your definition of jar is. It was more like a tube of fluff.
It was like a tube. If you took it out of the jar, is it the same story?
I think the container is important.
Yeah, I think the container is the crux of the story.
Rose says, can't wait to listen to Sockgate. And Danny said, that sock debate sounds like a scene from All in the Family. Well, you know, to be fair, I'm still right, because both times I went walking this weekend, I paid attention and I still put my shoes and socks on. Sock shoe.
This doesn't mean that you're right, because, I mean, of course you're right about the way that you, I trust when you tell us which way you put it on.
But you're not lying to us.
Right. But I think, like, are you correct in that, like, 9 people out of 10, you know, I mean, like, what's the best way to put this on? I still don't think you're right on that one. Although
I did ask my office, And we have a phone call about this, which we can either play now or we can get to. We'll get to. We only have a little bit left of Facey back, and then we'll get to that phone call about this.
Oh, we'll circle back to socks.
Yeah, but I did go around and randomly ask all of my coworkers.
An unofficial poll. I like it.
My boss is a sock shoe. And she said without hesitation, and I was like, oh my God, you know that. She goes, yeah, my husband and I debate this all the time.
Kindred spirit.
Yeah. And I was like, I knew I liked working for you. And then, one of my other coworkers said, and I was shocked, she said the same thing. And then the other two, because there's five of us total, the other two said that they were a shoe, sock, sock, or sock, sock, shoe. I don't know why I keep getting this backwards.
Could you imagine? How do you even do that?
Magic.
It's like the socks then become like shoe condoms.
Shoe condoms, write that down.
I guess, well, maybe if you were like an ER surgeon, then you would put, you know, you put the booties over the shoes.
Exactly. Or you're entering the infant room of a daycare.
Put on your shoe condoms.
And your shoe sock sock.
Or are your shoe sock?
Shoe sock, shoe sock.
All right then. Matt says, I would love to come down to Raleigh. Unfortunately, the last 2 years were on my mom's birthday weekend when family friend lets us use their beach house. Well, I've got really bad news for you, Matt. It's probably
going to
be
your mom's
birthday weekend next year. Yeah, yeah, bring her. Oh, my God. We're not at the beach, but I got a Matt's pond mom. In my backyard. I don't know if you've heard this. There may or may not be deep. Bodies in there. Yeah. No, Matt. Okay, wait, hold on. I'm going to give you the ultimate present. I'm going to wrap it up with a nice little bow right now. Of That's What She Says. Matt, come.
And now, Matt, if you were wondering what you should do for your ringtone.
I think that's it.
Take that little
clip hold on. There. I'll give you a clean audio copy. Matt,
that's what she said. Shady, it means we have to be quiet.
I know, but I just had to get one more in there. That's what she said to do.
Just use all this. This is totally usable. This is a great ringtone.
All right. Matt, come. All right, we're done.
Amanda's dancing along.
She was dancing along.
Oh my God, I wish I had been filming that.
We are filming this.
Yeah. That's right. Backup feed. Do we have another video for the week?
Possibly.
I think we do, and I think it's just Colleen going, Matt, come. And meanwhile, Amanda's dancing again.
Matt, come.
I liked it. You started out with the double
fist.
Okay. There are two Matts that listen. So.
Okay, perhaps this will be a video. Yes, there are two Matts that listen.
Well, you know.
One of them I may have accused of having a shotgun wedding. To his face, though. I feel like it's better if it's to their face.
Totally. That's what she said.
Oh, all right, I think we've come up with a new video for the patrons group.
I like it.
Okay. Yeah, glad I decided to wear makeup this week.
I didn't. I'm glad I decided to wear red, which is my color.
Nice.
You guys are lucky that my face has finally returned to normal color. Like, I go for a run, and it's like, it is like your shirt for like 2 hours.
Oh, I get that too. Okay, now I can't tell. Are you wearing blush or did you just go running?
Yeah, no, I'm wearing, my face is really not liking one of my products and I can't figure out which one it is. Aww. So yeah, I kind of have this really uncomfortable blush thing that's happening.
I was just teasing, but okay.
Yeah, but it's real. It does have a purpose and it's not makeup.
All right.
Angry skin.
Vicky says, I know what you mean about delayed soreness from seemingly easy exercise. I'll walk outside on my breaks at work, but when it was raining one day, I decided to climb the stairs instead. It really got my heart rate going. That's what she said, Matt. But didn't seem like it was too hard of a workout.
That's what she said, Matt.
Apparently, it was because my calves were sore for 2 or 3 days afterwards.
Also what she said.
It would have been funnier if she had said my thighs were sore for 2 or 3 days after.
Oh, it's your calves.
Or your calves.
Yeah, it depends on what, you know, muscle groups you're working.
Mm-hmm. And then to finish up, Matt gives us his list of that's what she says, and we just must be getting real good at this game. Okay. Mm-hmm. I've got a lot to play with, and I'm very excited. Sometimes it depends on how I sit down, or what hand the things are in.
That was the socks and shoes.
That was the socks and shoes. He got confused the first time, but he has adapted.
I don't remember what that was.
That was about Zach and how he got confused because Jay and I put his shoes on and socks on very differently.
Okay.
I would imagine that's hard to do standing. I'm totally down with being on it. You're so strong. You're making me feel so good.
Oh, yeah, that was me.
Okay, I didn't remember that. So
yeah, good. I don't remember what that was.
It was with the physical therapist and her assistant were telling me.
It's deeper than we think. That's my pond. This is going to end sooner if you don't talk, because we all want to go to sleep and laugh about this in the morning and forget that it happened in real life. That would be Johnny Fairplay. And to be fair, I was purposely making a that's what she said joke there. We're gonna close our eyes and hope this ends soon. As a woman, I'm used to that. We'll get to Boink in 3 weeks, Matt. And we did.
We
got to Boink.
We fulfill our promises.
Yes.
These things always swing back the other way. Mm. Those 12 minutes go by really quickly the second time. That was me talking about Reverend Curry's sermon.
Oh, okay.
She still haven't watched.
It's so good. And then that's really like 9 minutes, which I guess is still kind of good.
That's great.
All right. And now I guess we're going to get to everybody's favorite topic, butter shemales.
Yay.
All right. We have a voicemail from Mr. David Gott. So let's get to that. Okay, cool.
Hey, ladies. It's David Gott. Just wanted to tell you that I enjoyed meeting all of you in Raleigh, North Carolina this year. It was a great time, and it was so cool to see the live broadcast. Just a quick note to tell you that, you know, when I started the whole sock, sock, shoe, shoe thing, which is, of course, the way it should be.
Oh, fuck you.
My intention was to snare Jack, or perhaps Matt, in my nefarious plan. Never, ever did I think that Colleen would be a sock shoe, sock shoe. It's just wrong, and I have to side with Jay on this one.
It's fine.
You know, it was fun to hear that on the last podcast. Have a good evening. Bye-bye.
Okay. Not for nothing. I did walk into the trap, but I have to say, when David first made the post, and it was, you know, which would you do it? I responded within a minute because I thought, like, with conviction that my way of doing it was correct. And then I went back, like, 20 minutes later, and I was taken to school. It was like the Facebook group had a come to Jesus moment with me. They were like, Colleen, you're literally the only person in here that does it that way. So, thanks for that, Gott. Again, fuck you in the face.
And thanks for the tequila.
And thanks for the tequila. All right. I guess we should, I mean, what's a better thing to follow up a Gott voicemail than with a Mike email? Okay. This is titled Unfuckable Women Don't Go on Killing Sprees. And may I remind you all that we are at 1 hour right now. So to keep with our 90-minute minimum, just keep this in mind. Okay. When I was in high school, I felt completely undateable. Everyone around me seemed to be pairing off, falling in love, racking up sexual milestones, while I was still, as the song says, sweet 16 and never been kissed, and I felt awful about it. I fumed with anger over the unfairness of it all, writing shitty poetry, deriding other girls for being recipients of the attention and affection I felt sure I deserved. I should also note that this was written by a woman, in case you didn't get that. So when I read 22-year-old Elliot Rogers' extensive manifesto about his own dating woes 15 years after I graduated high school, I felt a flicker of recognition. I, too, knew what it felt like to be an extreme sense of loneliness and self-loathing, curdled into rage, to feel like you were being unjustly denied access to the romance, sex, and companionship you were so obviously entitled to. Yet it's unlikely that Roger would have ever seen me as a kindred spirit. For Roger, whose treatise went viral after he went on a killing spree in Isla Vista, California in the spring of 2014, women like me couldn't possibly understand his pain. To the contrary, we were the source of it. The ultimate evil behind sexuality is the human female, his manifesto declares towards the end. They are the main instigators of sex. They control which men get it and which men don't, and in Roger's view, never have had to deal with the pain of denial themselves. So I'm not going to read the rest of this because it's pretty much all the same of that. It just basically talks about exactly what the title says is, Shandy, your favorite topic, toxic masculinity, which shout out to Shandy on Westworld this week.
Hey, hey. Yeah, thanks for that. Got the t-shirt. Now I'm getting shout out. I did send in a feedback. It didn't make the cut. That's okay.
No, you did not. Did you really?
Oh, no. Did you not get it in early enough? That's what she said.
I sent in a feedback email a couple of weeks ago, but.
Jay!
Oh, no.
Why didn't you read Shandy's feedback on Westworld?
Maybe it was too political.
She said that she sent feedback and it didn't make the cut.
Maybe it got read and I just missed it or something?
No, it didn't get read.
It was read and it was like grayed out. I might have missed it.
Oh, yeah. Jack is really bad about doing that.
It's okay. I'm not entitled to having my feedback.
She says she's not entitled. Know? Unlike in the toxic same way, men, yeah. She is not entitled to having feedback.
I understand that it's the host's choice whether or not they want to engage with my feedback, and I'm okay with that.
We did get all kinds of, we were talking about that. Okay. All right. So getting back to this. This one woman talks about she'd spend an hour like getting all dressed up to go to a bar and get ignored. And yet, I guess it seems that, well, women apparently don't go on killing sprees when they can't get laid.
Yeah.
Shandy, discuss again. Amanda, discuss again. Or just start.
It goes back to what we were talking about earlier, where like the porn causing all these school shootings, like, no, it's not the porn, it's the guns. And then it's also the fact that like a lot of them really have misogynistic motivations. So I think people need to figure their shit out. But yeah, when women don't have access to sex, they generally don't go and kill a bunch of people. Weird.
Well, yep. And not to, cause I don't want to linger too much on this because I think we're all in agreement here. And we are all in agreement. I don't think it. I know it. Unless somebody wants something that they're not telling us. But when you said people need to figure their shit out, like, how does that happen? I mean this in all seriousness, because if it's a problem in society, mm-hmm. and you're clearly, society is starting to get more woke as a whole. And I won't say that all of society, but like, you can tell with this administration coming into power that more and more people are becoming socially conscious or politically self-aware, or I guess I would be socially self-aware and politically conscious, but whatever.
Sure.
Choose your own adventure with that one. tribute, Amanda. But Like, how does that happen? Like, how do you, because it's not something that you can just tell people, because most people that have longstanding beliefs in something that's so ingrained in society, do you have to just phase it out over a generation? Is that the only option here?
No, I think that a lot of people aren't even necessarily conscious of it like that. Like the dudes who feel like, you know, there are dudes that like do feel entitled to women and women's bodies, and then they don't go so far as to shoot a bunch of people up, but
right,
that toxin, if you will, is still there. I think what you need to do, because basically the underlying problem, again, it always all comes back to patriarchy, but that's what the underlying problem is. And that's what the underlying problem of toxic masculinity is as well. So you need to change society. And I think the way that you do that is, especially if you're a man, you embrace feminism and you embrace feminist values and you tell yourself like, yeah, I can use the word. It's not a dirty word. I can actively support women in the cause. And then I think that starts getting transmitted to other people, and then people hold each other accountable. And I think that's what sort of like over the course of time would eradicate such a problem.
Okay, so how do you
right,
spot,
how do
though?
We like, yeah, how do we get there? Because yeah, I think, and it's like, it is a
men, the men,
it
okay,
is
men
a
who
white
are listening.
Male problem, though, right. To be fair. It is a yes. White male problem.
Yes.
But how, and when you're at the top, like when you sit at the top of the tower, how do you incentivize those people to extend a hand down and look downward to learn?
Well, everyone can always do better. And how do you make people want to be good people? That's right. A hard question. But like, you could ask the same thing about us. Cause like we've talked about, okay, so we, like, we're all women, but like, we're all white women, but like, mm-hmm. we
don't
care.
Talk about shoplifting. Don't talk about shoplifting.
We're way past that.
I would like to think that we care about the well-being of people who don't look like ourselves and, you know, issues that don't affect white people. So like how, because we care, well, actually, and like we're not perfect at it. And again, like I was saying to Amanda during our pee break, like we're a group of three white women, so like yeah, mm-hmm. like we can certainly also be more inclusive just in and of ourselves. But I think like even being able to admit that and be conscious of it is maybe part of the solution, like the beginning part of the solution. And so I think that's where I think dudes can come in, and dudes of all kinds, even if they're already like, you know, pretty like hip to the problems and like on board with it. I know not all of our listeners are on board with this idea that we need to completely change some people aren't on board with the fact that we live in a patriarchal society. Like some people think that that's a thing of the past. So I think, you know, like ask yourself, if that's you, then maybe ask yourself why yeah. you think that and start from there. But just, then, like, don't be afraid to adopt the cause and the terminology and, like,
I also think that, because this article talks about how it's, you know, men think that women have it easier in the romance and sex department or whatever, and, like,
they get assaulted.
Yeah, right.
Right. Like, and, like, who started that myth?
Well, yeah. No, actually, yeah. My point here, point of what I'm going
to. Yes, sorry. Go ahead, my dear.
I personally think that the best way to combat things like this from happening, and I don't know how you do that with high school students, I don't, is getting out into the world and actually talking to other people and talking and seeing their experiences firsthand. Because if you don't venture out of your own little like world, you don't know how other people have it. I would have hoped that the internet and people being friends with people halfway across the world would have changed a lot of this. And I think that it actually did for a lot of people. But I think that one of the ways that you combat that is awareness of how other people live. And I don't know how you do that for high school kids, because they're still pretty much going to follow what their parents say. But I think, like,
not necessarily.
Adults like us.
I think, you know, your teenage years are when you're starting to form your own world view. So I think you're right in the fact that that is the time to start that process. I think you're right in that. Because I think there is a natural, there's a natural inclination for the teenage mind to start to rebel and to start to form their own opinions on things.
Right.
So I don't think you're too far off.
I'm not going to say that I disagree with you, but I just, like, I want to maybe, like, expand it out and go and reach further back. Because for me, the problem is, first of all, I think it has to start when not in the teenage years, but way, way, way before. Because our problem here is that these men don't regard women as human beings, as, you know, people, like, independent beings worthy of respect in and of their own right, just because by virtue of being, you know, living beings. And so that's something that you need to learn young, and to respect people's boundaries and all of those.
Yeah. And the way you get to learn and respect them is to get to know them, to branch out beyond your beliefs.
Right. And this is where I do kind of like want to add just a little bit more nuance, because I don't fully agree with, like, I agree that yes, it's really important to get out of your comfort zone and what you grew up with and what you believe in and whatever, and go out and meet different kinds of people. And I think especially you can talk about that with like race and ethnicity and stuff. Like, you know, it's very common. I don't know. I grew up in Montana. It's like 98.9% white. So like, of course, you know, I needed to get out and like go, you know, meet people that don't necessarily look exactly like me. And that's an important step. But what's interesting about this, you know, quote unquote, like I'll say men problem, is women make up 50% of the population. So no matter where you are in the world, you are in contact with women all the time. Like you, unless you grew up in like a monastery, you're in contact with women as your mother, as your sister, as your half of your class, as your teachers, you know? So it's, I don't think it's just that. I think the problem is
you can be in contact with people, but not actually pay any attention to, like, you'd be so absorbed in your own self. And that happens more when you're younger.
Well, but I think I see it as more of like not teaching men
most
and boys.
Most people don't know how the other or other people live until they become adults and they move out on their own and they talk to other people and right, see that, like, other people have had different experiences.
This is a specific targeting a lot of times of women. So it's not just like this person is self-absorbed and like doesn't think of anyone else. No, like this person specifically thinks of women as objects and less than, and, you know, something they're entitled to. And if they don't get it, then they will kill people. Yeah. So I think it goes back further. And I think it's something that needs to start young. And I think that people need to embrace it. I think that's where the cultural shift will be, is when, and we're seeing it more and more, but when like all, or, you know, a majority of men feel comfortable supporting feminist causes and even like gasp calling themselves a feminist because they believe in, you know, the social and economic parity of men and women, then I think we'll start to get somewhere.
I do see your side, and I do agree with,
the teenage years are super important.
Yes.
I don't want to under sell the, you know, the importance of that period of somebody's life, but I just, and maybe it's just, I don't know, some of this stuff, like, it's just, it's learned really young. It's modeled at home. Who does what? How does dad talk to mom? How, you know?
Well, and to be fair, and to go back to Shandy's point about taking it back a little further, because it's not just necessarily about going out and seeing the world. And also,
it's not. I mean, it's absolutely
also
not.
These school shootings are happening in school. So if you wait and start to integrate in teenage years, you are already too late.
Totally.
If you go off that.
True.
If that alone, and that's what started this whole conversation. So I, to Shandy's point.
That's a great point. Especially since it supports my
point.
Right. But we need to, apparently.
Right. We need to look further back. And I think it's the same way as you teach anything, it incremental, and you go developmentally of like what a child can handle and what their brain is at. Yeah. And yeah, I mean, what we're talking about is really complicated. And, you know, three white women that all come from some place of privilege. And no offense, ladies, we're not going to solve it on our own. But I think part of a larger conversation, you know, it we will get there.
And I will say, I want to tell just a really super quick story that gives me hope. Like, the change is on the horizon, hopefully. One of my friends is a middle school teacher, and she was telling me about this field trip they went on. And on the way back there in the bus, they were watching a movie, The Sandlot.
Oh, so good.
But one of the insults was one of the boys said to the other boy that he played like a girl, or he pitched like a girl, or whatever it was. And one of her boy students was like, oh, that's sexist.
Oh my God, I love that.
And I was just like, oh, you just gave me so much hope in the future, because that wouldn't have happened. I think when we were kids, none of us, even the women included, would have bat an eye.
Yep. And that is the problem. There's so much wrong with that movie, and I still love it to bits. There's like one female character and the mom, and that's like it. But I freaking love it.
The nostalgia factor.
I freaking love that movie.
Cool.
Great.
Yeah. And I'm not saying that you have to go out to see the world to understand other people. I'm trying to say that you have that. Whatever. Okay. I'm wrong. You guys are right. Cool.
No, it is an important piece of the puzzle. Yes. It is a very important piece of the puzzle.
I'm just saying that if you don't meet somebody that's not like you, you're never going to understand how somebody else is in their, like, somebody else's situation. That's all I was trying to get at. I'm sorry.
Right, but you could also even then make the argument that by seeing on television or wherever you get your media, people that don't look like you, it is also a small window into that. So the more diversity we see in movies and media, that is a little way of helping people that don't live in a community where they are
and
surrounded
I would say
by
that
people
if you're
that
our
don't
age,
look like that.
Or if you're our age, you have children or whatever, it's probably good to begin to expose them to such things. Okay, whatever. I have clearly started something way more than I wanted to, and ended up sounding apparently like an asshole for it. So
not at all.
I really don't disagree with you. I'm more of the all of the above approach.
Cool. It's a complicated problem.
It's a very complicated problem, and it's not going to get solved tonight by us.
No, it's not, because we've had this discussion a lot of times in different iterations.
I mean, but wouldn't it be great? Wouldn't it be great if we could solve it? Like, if we could just crack that nut. That's what she said.
Yeah.
If we could just solve this problem tonight.
Good times. All right.
What a different world we'd wake up to.
What a different world. It'd be great.
Yeah. Crazy. All right. Speaking of things that we don't want to talk about anymore, we have an email from Ed the Mailman's mother. Hello, girls. I just noticed this email for some reason wasn't sent, but this is the original note that I sent to you right after your podcast a million years ago. I'm just kidding, Ed the Mailman's mom. Hello, girls. Was just listening to your podcast and you girls talking about returning makeup. I hate to burst your bubble, Colleen. But just earlier this year, they were talking about Ulta reselling used makeup that had been returned to their store. They sort of clean it up and put it back on the shelf. If you Google Ulta reselling makeup, you can read the full story. Take care, Ed the Mailman's mom. All right. I'm just not going to talk ever again on this podcast because...
I don't think it's your bubble that's burst, though. I think it's Amanda's bubble that's burst.
Well, I guess this Ulta thing, because I did Google it, was somewhat of a scandal, and it's based on a lawsuit, so it has actually not been settled yet. It's from February, but I guess the lawsuit claims that Ulta resells return used beauty products to unsuspecting customers. So, all right.
No bueno.
No bueno at all. All right. Well, thank you. Thank you, Eddie's mother.
Honestly, My favorite part of this is that Ed, the mailman's mother, listens to our podcast.
I know. Actually, that is kind of my favorite part, too.
It is amazing.
Well, wait, is Ed the mailman Mike Pence? So is it actually his wife?
Oh, no.
I got two Pence drops in this episode.
Not everyone can say that.
No. All right. We got two more emails to get through real quick. The first one is from Riley about Johnny Fairplay. Does anybody want to read this one?
I nominated Amanda.
Cool.
Fine.
the one out of three broad
that hasn't watched Survivor since what, the 90s? When did it start? I don't even know.
2000.
Okay, fine. Then since 2002.
Y2K.
Yeah. Okay, so Johnny can go F himself.
Truth.
I thought he was a complete a-hole for making dead baby jokes. I know it hits close to home with Colleen, and it does with me too. I was surprised when he said that he had kids. I would think that he'd be more sensitive about the topic. Anyway, I want to point out how well Colleen handled herself during the awkward jokes, and I hope he never gets invited back to play Survivor. Riley.
Yeah, he's probably not.
Yeah. Amen.
I don't think Jeff Probst likes him very much. Weird.
He definitely doesn't.
Shocker.
But what's funny is that he clearly is still very much fixated on it. So I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I sometimes wonder that, because I do love, I love the game and I love the show. And I have, of course, fantasized about playing it. And I did.
Oh, I'd be so good at it.
Yes. But I've wondered, if I did play the show, would I then be one of these people that's just their life from then on, for from now until the grave, that I just.
No, because that's not your personality. You don't make a living being I'm Shandy, I played Survivor.
Right. Trying to extend that 15 seconds of fame.
Yeah, I could see Tim doing that, but I can't see you doing that.
That's very true. But Fairplay, for sure. It's you can just tell that he's still so
into himself.
Yeah. And just kind of stuck on it,
Mm-hmm.
That's not his real last name, right? That's a
No.
It's his stage name.
No.
Which is also wrestling. That's exactly. That's problematic. Yeah. If you have a stage name to be on a reality TV show, you're not letting that go anytime soon.
No, exactly. Especially when you legally change your name. I think his name was John Dalton. If I remember correctly.
That sounds familiar.
All right. That's enough time on Johnny fucking Fairplay. Although keep your hate mail coming, please. We're going to finish up with this week's in Annie's virginity, and then we are going to get the hell out of here.
All right. So Andy writes in, "Hey Rods, thanks for your concern from my last email. While the rut remains, it isn't anything too dire. It's more along the lines of needing to change some things in my life outside of dating, my job, my living situation, etc.
Fair enough.
I'm not sick, desperately poor, or dealing with some trauma. It will pass. You're right that I shouldn't let my bad luck dampen my demeanor around potential dates. Take a look at many dark corners of the internet and you'll see guys in similar situations who let that disappointment turn them into bitter misogynists, some of whom take those ugly ideas and turn them into violent action."
Oh my fucking God. It's like he knew. Mike, are you Andy? Connor looks a lot like Renee, not you. JK, he looks like all of you.
Andy continues, "Obviously I'm against all of that, but part of me also sees why they think that way." No, Andy, no. "It's a big problem in our culture regarding sex and young men. I know I mentioned this early on, if not in my first letter, that virgin males are an easy punchline and how our culture can make men who aren't having sex feel less than. It is one of the ways patriarchal systems hurt men as well as women." Okay, now we're back in sync. "Colleen has a good point about the possibility of some mix between fate and free will. However, I don't see what point the universe is making in having me wait so long for something most people experience before graduating high school."
Not most people.
Not most.
No.
Okay, raise your hand on this podcast if you experience this before graduating high school. See, 1 in 3, that's not even half.
"What lesson am I supposed to learn from this, and why do I have to learn it? Also, how many signs have I missed over the years? Clearly getting so caught up in this thinking isn't doing me any good. Definitely don't think about regret or what you should have done. I can see the negative side of the no fate argument, but for now I see it as a way not to take my lack of success personal. The universe isn't perpetually cock-blocking me. There are plenty of good, well, not good, but logical reasons why I'm still a virgin after all these years, from my depression and anxiety to personal situations that have made looking difficult. It adds up. I just need to keep a positive attitude and be proactive going forward. Maybe when I get another date, let them get a word in edgewise. Sorry, Maggie, you had such a bad experience with that guy, although it's not much of a loss. But your story helped me feel a little less alone as I deal with the frustrations of dating. As we end year one of Andy's virginity, well, for you at least, obviously it's a few more than that from my point of view. I'm starting to put out feelers again. Hopefully something will happen and we can bring year two to a climax we can all enjoy. Hashtag I'm with hers, Andy. This is totally tangential, and I'm sorry to like change the topic, but just before I forget, one of my friends is on Tinder, and my other friend was like, oh my God, because she like just got on Tinder. My other friend who is in a long-term relationship was like, oh my God, give me your phone. Like she like wanted to like play the swiping game. And so I got my first sort of hand at like swiping because my friend let me swipe left and right on her Tinder profile. It was really weird. So I have a newfound layer of compassion for anyone that's out in the dating world, and especially with the online applications and whatnot. It felt odd. And then we were like judging everyone by their looks, which like you do anyway in person, but like, I don't know. It's just very strange.
Yeah.
But it's like reading someone's resume. There's something a little more clinical about online dating. There's not like, it kind of removes the element of spontaneity.
Totally.
You know, as someone who experienced online dating.
Although I will say there was one dude, for example, who on his little blurb, his like 3-line blurb about himself, mentioned that he was looking for white women. So that was like good to know right away. I was like, okay, you are an asshole. So swipe. That was the other thing. I was like, wait, swipe left, swipe right. Which swipe is it? Like how? Ooh, very stressful. Swipes the wrong way. I'm like, God, sorry.
that's true. I was on Tinder for like literally 45 minutes. Not for me. No, it's true. I was like on it for a day. A friend signed me up, and then like my neighbor who I was friends with like saw me on it, and I got embarrassed, and it was over. I took myself off.
Oh my God.
So like literally just like
right,
because
it's based on your location, right?
Yeah, it's based on your location.
Oh God, that's right.
Oh my God.
Well, Andy, if you have any more online dating stories, let us know. Because, I really feel like I learned something.
Alrighty then.
I mean, there's a lot of great stuff to online dating. I think, it is just part of dating in the modern world. Mm-hmm. But much like meeting someone in real life is hard. It's like online dating is hard for its own set of reasons.
Yeah. Dating in general is just hard.
Exactly. No matter how you do it, it's hard and it's frustrating and you don't always feel like your best self.
But then sometimes you do.
Sometimes you do. Exactly.
All right. Andy, keep us posted.
Yes, definitely.
All right. A bit of housekeeping before we leave. Thank you to our patrons, thank you to our patrons who keep this show going. Thank you to our listeners who really keep this show going, or else, we wouldn't be doing it. But especially thank you to certain patrons who contribute at a certain level, and that would be Ed the Creepy Mailman. And let's throw in Ed's mom, because she birthed him. So thanks, Ed's mom. Molly the Millennial, Maggie the Magnificent, Jack from Tokyo, and Eckhart Ringer. Thank you guys so much. If you'd like to become a patron, you can go to patreon.com/JaneJack, or you can go to JaneJack.com and click on the Become a Patrons link at the top. At the $5 level or more, you can join our super fun Facebook page and see some of the videos that Amanda posts in here. And there's just fun discussions going on all the time. If you are so inclined, you can shop at through our Amazon affiliates link, and you can go to jandjack.com/Amazon. That takes you to Amazon. You can do all your shopping needs there. If you are interested in any merchandise, and I spoke to Jacob this morning as of recording this, and he said that he is, his goal is up this weekend, so within a day or so of this being released, to have more merchandise out. So it's coming, guys. I promise. Yes, that's what she said, Matt. We're on Spreaker now, so if you have the Spreaker app, you can search for us there. Also, we are going to have a live show to celebrate our 2-year birthday on Tuesday, June 12th. So stay tuned for that. I was on Westworld with Jay, Jack, and Mike this week, as we kind of briefly talked about earlier. If you'd like, if you watch Westworld and want to check that out, I sound almost nothing like me until the end, where I make a couple of sexual innuendo jokes. Because I was like really nervous. I was like, okay, don't say anything stupid, because Jay's not going to edit this. So this is not Survivor. Like, this is serious. And then by the end, I was totally making jokes that were inappropriate. So, you know, as I do. But anyway, check that out too. I think Mike is going to be back next week, though. So if you are a Team Mike fan, which I don't blame you, I'm Team Mike too. So he'll be back next week, though. Does anybody else have anything before we wrap this up? Okay. Yeah. Cool. Fun show. The show where we all talked about hiking. And rhinoceros penis. Oh man, I said that as Amanda took a sip, and I was really hoping to make you snort laugh the beer out of your mouth.
Sorry.
I didn't do it.
Next time.
All right. I saw you picking up, and I was like, oh my God, I gotta say cock or penis or something to make her laugh, and didn't. So congratulations. Sorry. You're more mature than I am. Maybe you can be on Westworld with Jay, Jack, and Mike next week.
Ooh, my dream. Ooh. Have to get current on the show first.
We didn't talk about Roseanne, but I mean, what is it to talk about?
I mean, honestly, my whole thing with Roseanne, like, it was bound to happen.
They knew what they were getting into.
Exactly. Everyone crazy knew for who a long she time. Was, and we still decided to give her her show back. Yeah. So you can't be surprised when this is how it ended.
Yes, like, ABC essentially learned why they can't have nice things.
Yeah, right. A spade is a spade. Like, if someone acts in a certain way, you can't be surprised when they again act in that certain way. Like, it's just like...
Leave them.
Good times.
I'm taking crazy pills.
Good on them for discontinuing.
Yeah, I'm glad it happened so swiftly, and it was no second chance. It was like, nope, you're done.
Yes.
As it should have been. It was handled very well on ABC's side.
Yep. I wonder, my boss had said, I wonder if they wrote in her clause, like some clause in her contract that was, yeah, that was pretty much, you know.
Fuck up. You're out.
Yeah. Anyway. Okay. If you have any feedback about anything, you can give us a call at 331-276-2373, or you can email us thebroadcasters3@gmail.com. I want to say a special fuck you in the face to Mike for sending in that email that just totally, you know, derailed us. So thanks for that.
That was great.
It was great. I just,
this is my favorite shit to talk about.
I know. I lost my narrative at some point, but that's okay. I should have written it down. I didn't. Generally, I write down notes during these things, but this time I did not. Anyway, okay, on that note.
Shouldn't have worn it swimming.
Oh, vagina monologue joke.
I'm always going to make that joke.
Always. I shouldn't have worn it swimming. Okay, on that note, my name is Colleen.
My name is Amanda.
And I'm Shandy.
All right, peace out, guys.
Bye.